Father, in this time now, we sit under your word, Father God. I pray, O Lord God, that you would open our eyes and our ears, that we would see your truth proclaimed in the word, and we would see Christ. I pray now, Father God, that you would instruct us, correct us where we are so wrong, and we are living and understanding things, particularly marriage. We're understanding it in a way that's in context with our world as opposed to in context with your word. So would you please now do the miraculous work, O God, of teaching us, not just in our heads, but in our very hearts, O Lord God. And would you do the work, O Holy Spirit, of applying your word? We would not go forth in error here, but that we would go forth in joy, in love, and in bringing great glory to our great Savior, Jesus. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. Amen. Last week we started talking about marriage. Not because we thought marriage would be a neat thing to talk about, though it is, but because as we've been studying through the book of Ephesians, we've come to chapter 5, verse 22, throughout the rest of chapter 5, where Paul talks about marriage. So the scriptures talk about marriage, we're going to talk about marriage from the scriptures, not from Scott, but from the Word of God. Last week, we took a pause in going through Ephesians to say, what is marriage? What does the Bible say about marriage? We looked at Genesis chapter 2, the first marriage, Adam and Eve, and saw primarily two things about marriage. There's a lot we talked about last week. Primarily two things. One is that marriage is God's doing. It's God's idea. God created it. It's not a cultural, institutional, human thing. It's God's. Not just in the church, but outside the church. Part of creation. Marriage is God's doing. And secondly, saw that marriage is to point to the relationship between Jesus and the church. We're going to see a little bit more of that this morning. We see that as a husband, the relationship between a husband and a wife is supposed to reflect to ourselves, to the church, and to the world, the relationship between Jesus as the husband and the church as the bride. That's the core pronouncements, designs in marriage. This week we are going to start looking. We're going to look at back in Ephesians now. We're going to follow this passage through in Ephesians. This week we're going to the passage talks about wives, and next week we're going to look at husbands. I don't know if we'll finish all of husbands next week. It's a lot more text there on husbands' responsibility, right? And there are but wives in this passage here. Okay, I don't know if we'll finish it. And then the following week, again, I said based on the feedback we have here, and depending upon what questions arise throughout the week, we'll cover divorce. What does the Bible say about divorce? What does it talk about that? Okay. In marriage, God has ordained, as we will see from this Ephesians 5 passage, and by the way, it's also in 1 Peter, and it's in Colossians, and it's in Corinthians, and it's in Genesis. We'll see that as God has ordained the coming together of a man and woman, of a husband and a wife, into a partnership, that he has designed for these two becoming one flesh, that they have different roles. There are different roles within the marriage relationship that God has laid out. And Paul is now going to talk about those various roles, first for the women this morning, and then for the husbands. Okay? There is in no way here a ranking of importance. There is a distinguishing of roles. And we need to look at the context of this passage. Please turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. I want to look at the context. It was 2 weeks ago that we did the previous passage, which went up through chapter 5, verse 21. And I want to talk about verse 21 for a second here, before we get into this morning's passage, which starts in verse 22. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21 says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. It then goes on in verse 22 to talk about, as we'll see in a second here, wives submitting to their husbands. The context here is in submitting to one another. However, that verse 21, remember, as we studied it, that verse is applying to, is an implication of the verse back in 18 where it says, be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit, and what does that look like? It goes on to verses 19 to 20. I'm going to talk about that. Speaking in psalms and hymns, making music and singing, always giving thanks to the Lord, and submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. That's the context of that mutual submission to one another. And we talked about that. That we, as Christians, need to be submitting to one another. It's in the Scriptures. If we are Spirit-filled, we're submitting to one another. Now, that verse here, is that submission, is the thematic linchpin that brings up the next section here, yes. But the danger we have here, and this is what has happened so often today in the church, is that we say, read verse 21 and say, submit to one another, reverence for Christ, and say, oh, that's just perfect, across the board, all relationship submission, and therefore we stop reading, and we think verse 22 particularly doesn't apply, really. We say, well, yeah, wives, submit to your husbands. But what Paul really means is verse 21, submit to each other. So this idea of wives submitting to your husbands, or children submitting to your parents, or employees, or as it calls them, your slaves, submitting to your masters, your employers, doesn't apply. It's not really important, so we kind of skip this passage. But we can't do that. Paul goes into great detail here to say, yes, submit to one another. Now let me talk about some specific relationships and what it looks like in the various relationships, okay? I also want to say that while we must do the very difficult and diligent work, we must do the very difficult and diligent work of understanding what is cultural and what is declarative for all times, okay? If you want to talk more about that in this passage, come see me. Let's talk about that. Right? Because of time, I want to say that the way this whole passage, the way this whole book of Ephesians is structured, there's not a cultural context called out here. Ephesians is unique. Usually Paul starts off his books by talking about the problem in a local congregation, and then he addresses that problem. So in the Corinthians, when he's talking about that they're messing up worship, that there's disorder in worship, it's talking about in the church in Corinth, here's what you're doing, let me address that. Ephesians is almost unique of Paul's letter. He doesn't have a situation in the church Ephesus he's addressing. This is not a cultural context, is what I'm saying. Okay? We can't just say that this was an old male-dominated society, and that's why Paul is talking this way. Okay? Now, for those of you who are still in the room, let's turn to the passage. Ephesians 5, chapter 5, verse 22 to 24. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. This is the word of God. Paul is entering into this section now to talk about various roles in different relationships. Husband-wife, in this section, he's going to go into children and parents. Beginning in chapter 6, he's going to go into slave and master. And next in chapter 6, different relationships. And the roles that we each have in those relationships. This morning, we're talking about roles in marriage, focusing in this morning on wives. Some very basic things. This is a very basic, simple passage, really. There's not a lot of figuring out, well, what does the verb mean here and how does it connect to here? It's pretty straightforward. So we're going to break it down in a very simple way. First of all, who is this passage talking to? It's talking to wives. Starts off right at the beginning of verse 22. Wives. It's not talking to women in general. It's not saying all women do this. It's saying wives. This is specifically talking about the marriage relationship. Okay? That's who it is addressing. What is it saying? What are the wives supposed to do? Submit. We'll talk more about what that means, what submission. That's going to be the thrust of this passage, of our time this morning, the sermon this morning here, is to submit. But yes, it says submit there. Okay? All right? Next, to whom are wives to submit? To your husbands. Okay? So, just like we're not saying all women, this passage is not saying that. The passage is not saying wives submit to all men. It's not what we're talking about. There's nothing in here that's talking about women as being a lesser role, a lesser function in society. Or it's not talking about this. It's saying wives submit to any other married man? No, to your husbands. Okay, so just let's be very clear on what this passage is talking about. Wives submit to your husbands. Well, how are wives to submit? In what ways? What is the primary thrust? What is the emphasis? What is the model that wives are to have in submitting to their husbands? We'll go on to the next part of the verse here, the end of verse 22. As to the Lord being Jesus here. So in the way that wives that you submit to the Lord Jesus, that's the model, and we'll talk more about specifically how that looks, how that works out. But that's the model that wives you would have in submitting to your husband, is looking at how we submit to the Lord. Now, men, we're not Jesus. In so many ways, we are not Jesus, right? And so we might think and say, look, wait a minute, why in the world would Paul say this to wives to submit to your husbands in the way, in the means, and having for the model of that, the way we submit to Jesus? So there's not a lot of comparison that I see between my spouse, my husband, and Jesus, especially during a football game or something, you know. Why in the world are wives to submit to their husbands in the way that they submit to Christ, or as Christ is the model of how we are to submit? Verse 23 makes some very profound statement, a very profound statement about the marriage relationship. Why should wives submit to their husbands in the way that they submit to the Lord? Why? For, because the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, which is the Savior. God has decreed, and we're going to wrestle with this, all right, what the implications are, what this means. So if you're uncomfortable right now, hang in there. You're going to get more uncomfortable. God has decreed in the marriage relationship that the husband is the head. And the analogy here now, at the end of verse 23, is the wife is the body. That's the picture, the image that he's using there. Paul's using. It's not a first time he uses this image. It's not a unique imagery that he uses here. He uses this. Can you think of where else Paul uses a body imagery in describing what relationship? The church to whom? In the imagery of the body, where he calls this 1 Corinthians, where he says that the church is a body, who is the head? Christ is the head. Christ is the head. So the imagery that Paul used before is that we, the church, are the body, and Jesus is our head. Anyone offended by that? No. Of course not. He is the head. He is the one who leads the church. We as the body, we submit to him as the head of the church. And frankly, in that submission, in looking at Christ as head, there is great freedom and joy and strength. Paul's saying that there's a similar image here in that God has decreed the husband to be the head in the marriage relationship. And the wife is the body in the marriage relationship. Now, it's not saying the husband is the brain. Clearly, in my marriage, that is not the case. What it is talking about is saying that he is the head. The husband is the leadership in the family, in the marriage relationship. And the wife is to submit to him. Why? Because he's more knowledgeable and more spiritual and more wonderful. The husband is because he's more powerful. No, because he's been declared by Christ to be the head. Simple as that. God has made him the head. We'll talk about next week about what that means for husbands to be the head. Headship role, what that looks like. But we submit, wives submit to their husbands because God has made the husband the head. God does a lot of this declaring stuff. Okay? Let me give you another one that is not offensive to us, doesn't upset us at all. I'm very sinful. I was separated from Christ. When I came to Jesus by faith, and he saved me by his grace, by his free gift to me, he took all my sin and he put it on Jesus, killed Jesus, and took all of Jesus' righteousness and goodness and holiness and put it on me. And he declared me righteous. Does that mean I don't sin anymore? No. But he declared me righteous. He made me righteous. I am righteous, though I am not living up to that yet. But in his eyes, I am righteous. Been declared that way. So God has declared right here that the husband is the head of the wife, just as Jesus is the head of the church. And therefore, because God has declared that, that is why wives submit to their husbands. Because God's made them the head of the relationship. Well, to what end are wives to submit to their husbands? It's really, and this will be covered more, but it's really to the end that wives will experience and reflect Christ. That's what we do in the church as we submit to Jesus. We reflect back to the world. Jesus is the head. He's the one who reigns because we're submitting to him, right? When we submit to Christ, it points to Jesus, not to us. And when wives submit to their husbands, it reflects Jesus. It points to Jesus because there's the imagery that we've talked about last week, and we'll see again at the end of chapter 5 there, that the marriage relationship is to reflect the relationship between the church as the wife and Jesus as the husband. But it's also here the way in which the wife will experience Christ. We have so messed up male-female relationships, so distorted them, that there is great blessing and reward and peace and freedom and joy in this right ordering of the beautiful, profound, intimate relationship of husband and wife, when wives lovingly submit to their husbands, and when, as we'll see next week, husbands lovingly, spirit-filled, Christ-like way, love their wives. Oh, what beauty, what joy, because it's how God has created us, friends. Now, before you start thinking that that's some terrible thing, you know, there's one who submitted so fully and completely, and yet none of us look at it as offensive and in any way demeaning, and that was Jesus. Jesus submitted himself to death on a cross. He left the glories of heaven. He's king, and yet he left that and submitted himself to affects the sin of man, really, to kill him. Also, when Jesus was in the Final Supper, he had his disciples gathered together there. Who is the one who got up and washed the feet? It was Jesus. Jesus is the one who took the towel around his waist and went and washed everyone's feet, which was the job of the slave, of the servant. Jesus did that. Now tell me, when you read that passage, in any way do you say, yeah, Jesus, you're just not really as important or special as the rest of these disciples here. You're not nearly as good. Is it demeaning to Jesus to do that? No way. Everyone knew in that room that Jesus was the leader, that Jesus was the head. You know, he was the one serving. No, he was the one humbling himself and submitting himself. So in the very act of submission, there is nothing demeaning at all. In fact, there's something very beautiful. Submission. The picture in this passage here is a parallel description here. It's husband and wife, parallel with head-body, paralleled with Christ Church. Okay? Those are the parallels there. Husbands and wives. Husband over here, wife over here. And the illustration is head, husband head, wife body, husband Christ, wife church. That's the picture the scripture lays out here. Okay, well, what does that mean? What is submission? As you all know, it's the word that we loathe in our society. We work very, very hard to sponge this from our language and our talk and our culture. And we recognize it is very countercultural to be sitting here talking about this morning. Well, what is and isn't submission from the Bible? Because, friends, we got to wrestle with this, right? I mean, is that passage pretty clear, pretty straightforward? I believe it is. And so if it's the command of Christ, what is it? What is and isn't submission? We'll look at 8 things. I am indebted to John Piper for a lot of this here. I recommend you a book, This Momentary Marriage by John Piper, where it's on all of marriage. I very much commend that to you. Commend Andreas Kostenberger's book, God, Marriage, and the Family, Rebuilding the Biblical Foundation. Yes, it's thick, but it's broken up into different sections. We have questions on almost anything to do with a marriage and family. This is an excellent, excellent resource. Questions on birth control, on divorce and remarriage and singleness. And just all, you know, models of marriage in the Bible. It looks through the Old Testament, the New Testament. Jesus, Paul, talks about everything. Very much commend that to you. It's very, very well written. And you don't have to read the whole thing. You can just look at the index. And there's something you want to wrestle with and understand. He takes a look at the biblical models and the biblical teachings, and then he goes ahead and makes the great application. What does that mean for these very, very specific things in our society today? It's Andreas Kostenberger. God, Marriage, and Family. I commend him. Excuse me. Okay. What is and isn't submission? First of all, I'd like to read a quote, short quote, 3 sentences, that is from John Piper's book, This Momentary Marriage, which I think sums up, for me, the attitude, the heart, the disposition of a wife submitting to her husband. This would be the mindset of the wife submitting to her husband, where when she can say, I delight for you, my husband, to take the initiative in our family. I'm glad when you take responsibility for things and lead with love. I don't flourish in the relationship when you are passive and I have to make sure the family works. That is the disposition in the heart of submission, of wives submitting to their husbands, is looking to them. Well, we're getting the details. Okay. Getting the details now. First of all, submission is a divine calling. This is not something that we are imposing or that I want to impose upon us in a cross-cultural, counter-cultural kind of way. It's God's calling. It says here that God made the husband the head of the body, just as Christ is the head of the church. So there's a divine call, wives, to submit to your husband. And that means it's beautiful and it's for your blessing. It's for your great joy, not to keep you down or to squelch you or to hurt you in any way. It's a divine call from God. And that means it's good. Second, submission is honoring a husband's leadership in the marriage, in the family. That you are supporting that, honoring that in both word and in deed. So, for example, wives, let's say you are feeling called by God to be a missionary, and your husband isn't. What do you do there? You truly feel this divine call from God, and your husband is not there. I would commend to you or recommend to you intense prayer. Not nagging and putting down and disparaging your husband, but intense prayer, seeking God, that God would affirm in you this call and change your husband's heart, that he would sense this call, if it is from God. That you too would submit to Christ and say, God, clearly we have a difference here. What would you have me do? Work this out, O Lord God. I give you as an example, my own marriage. When Cynthia and I were, and just so you know, as an act of me loving my wife and honoring her, and as being leader of my family, I've asked her permission to share this. Okay, that's an act of honoring her. So I have to do, and want to do, and have after. And she's absolutely said yes, I can share this. Okay. When we were coming together and considering marriage, okay, we found it very interesting. We were in our early 30s, so we'd had a lot of life in Christ beforehand. God had shaped us in a lot of ways and given us strong hearts and desires for certain things in ministry. And one of the real challenges in us coming together was that we had hearts for very different things. Okay, I was very much feeling called towards the pastoral ministry. Okay. My wife, Cynthia, was her heart is stirred by kids, by particularly orphans, those who have been abandoned. And she has a longing, a call from God to minister to help, to care the orphan and those who are abandoned and those who are the particularly teenagers and young teens who have been left aside by their family and have not been loved in an amazing way. Her heart burns with passion for this. And when we were getting married, mine did not. Mine did not. And so when we were getting married, such a longing she has to do foster care or to adopt, to do adoption. This is her heart. Mine was not. Different story about us coming together in marriage and sensing God leading us in that way. But Cynthia never nagged me about this. Cynthia has never been pushing me or disappointed that this was not my heart. There's been no time in which I have sensed from her that I'm unspiritual because that was not my heart to adopt. Amazingly, we have two children, right? No. And with the birth of our children, anything having to do with kids breaks my heart in a second right now. And many of you experience that and know that. It just takes the slightest thought that a child is in no way being loved profoundly. That will send me over the edge in 1 second. Since about October or so, all of a sudden, God has instilled within me this unbelievable passion for adoption. Cynthia has not said a thing about it for years. And yet God is working this out together. Now, I don't know what that means yet. We don't know where that would lead us, but it's in my heart now so powerfully, which, by the way, means that we're going to talk about it a lot. And my submission to Christ. But it's a beautiful thing, is that in that submission that she had there to me, right? That God has worked this out, and it may take wives 40 years of praying that your husband would sense the call that God has on you, or he may never. But the submission is not conditional here. It's honoring the husband's headship and leadership. Number three, submission is using your gifts to help your husband's headship, leadership. It doesn't mean that the husband's off doing all the stuff and the wife is just submitting, just sitting in the background, just submitting. No. God has equipped you and gifted you powerfully. And that you are to submit to your husband is to use that gifting to enable your husband's leadership and headship in the family he's doing there. And so, as we'll see next week, one of the big keys for husbands being the head of the family is taking initiative. The one that takes initiative in things. We'll talk all about that. But it doesn't mean that he makes all the decisions, or that the husband is the one, because, you know, he's more intelligent and stronger. No way! Maybe that the husband is initiating, saying, we got to figure this problem out. And dear, your gifting is such that you have wisdom, or you have insight into these areas. Would you please give wisdom and counsel on this? And a wife submitting, you say, absolutely, let me utilize my gift that God has given me in a way to facilitate that leadership and headship of the husband. But that is, that's submission. Fourth, submission is joyfully being a helpmate. Genesis chapter 2, we looked at last week. God said, it's not good for Adam to be alone. Looked at all of creation, said there's no animal here that can meet the needs that is a partner with the husband. I will make him an ezer kenego, is the Hebrew word there. And it means a helpmate. It actually has a military connotation to it. That someone is there fighting with and beside someone in a protective role. That there's a joining together in battle together, helping one another in a joyful way. That this is a submission, is to joyfully be that helpmate to the husband. With joy and pride, with love, to help the husband, again, in his various roles that he has too, which we'll talk about next. The various roles, to help the husband in that. But that is submission. Now this raises a real big problem. What if your husband's not a spiritual leader? What if your husband's not spiritual at all? In the Church of America, this is a crisis in so many ways, which is why it's so important for us to talk about this and talk about what wives' roles and what husbands' roles are. What does it mean to be a joyful helpmate, to be submitting to your husband, if your husband is a bozo and isn't following God, isn't full of the Spirit of God, isn't loving towards you? Well, by God's divine, beautiful plan, wives submitting to your husbands is one of the ways which God has ordained to wake up husbands, to make them see the truth and fulfill the calling. 1 Peter chapter 3. Wives, in the same way, be submissive to your husbands. So what is submitting to your husband going to do? So that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives, when they see the purity and reverence of your lives. If your husband is not the strong spiritual leader right now, submit to him out of reverence for Christ. And in doing so, God has ordained that that is one way in which he will call the husband to wake up. By seeing that love that you have, again, get that glimpse of the picture of what it means to submit to Christ and to lead. So I say, if you are disappointed in your husband, if he is not living up to the biblical command to lead, submit to him as you submit to the Lord. Now, that's what submission is. What is it not? It is equally as important in our culture. First, submission is not always agreeing with your husband. Submitting to your husband does not mean that you agree with everything he says, as if he is some fount of wisdom who can do no wrong. No. But if you disagree with your husband, you think what he's saying is incorrect, or decision he's making is wrong, or a way he's leading is wrong. I'm not talking about sin here. We'll get to that in a minute. If you disagree with the decision that they're making, and this is a quote from a Piper book, this is a disposition. This is words you could say to your husband when you disagree with him that is still submitting. Say, I love when you initiate and take responsibility in our life together. But I don't have peace about this decision yet. Can we talk more about it and pray more about it together? That's, you're disagreeing with your husband, but you're still honoring him, submitting to him. That whole disposition and attitude is different. Does not mean you have to agree with your husband. But it does mean that even in disagreeing, we need to do it in a way that has this disposition of submitting to our husbands. Second, submission is not abandoning efforts to change your husband. It's okay to want your husband to change. That's okay. That's the whole 1 Peter 3 verse there. If your husband has ways that need to change, submission doesn't say, well, it doesn't matter. I'm just going to sit here and it's okay if what he is disgusting and is not loving and helpful to me. I got to submit, so I can't want to change him. No! You women almost always have a better insight into what our character needs to be anyways. And so to lovingly and in an attitude of submission to and a disposition of submission to work to change, to pray to change, and in fact the very act of submission as we saw in 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 1 is the way that God facilitates that. But yes, desire change in your husband, pray for change in your husband, absolutely. See, next week, it's one of the primary roles of the husband is to work to change the wife for the glory of God, to grow the wife in Christ, to present her to Christ sanctified. So it's okay. Submission doesn't mean you don't try to change your husband. Third, submission isn't putting your husband above Christ. Absolutely not. Submitting, if we look at back at chapter Ephesians 5, chapter 5, verse 22, says, wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. Doesn't mean submit to your husbands as Lord. You submit to him as you submit to the Lord. You don't submit to your husbands as if he was the Lord. No. You have one king. Your king is Jesus, not your husband. Absolutely not. We never put our husband first. The husband does not have control over your comings and goings and what you do and what you spend. No, that's sin. Husband isn't your Lord. You don't sit there and say, you know, as with Jesus, we sit here and say, Lord, in everything, in all ways, what would you have me do? Every step, every moment, every day, I do your will. It's not the same way as wives submitting to their husbands. You don't say, husband, is it okay if I leave the room now? No. Husband does not have that type of lordship over your life. So that's not submission. It's abusive. The husband does represent Christ, but he's still sinful, of course. So submission is not putting your husband above Christ, changing that relationship around. And fourth, submission is not following your husband into sin. It's not following your husband into sin. This applies to so many cases, whether your husband is not a believer, or your husband is not momentarily following God, or if there's just times when your husband, as we all do, when we will sin, and is wanting to drag you into that. No, you're not to say, well, I'll just go forth. Just like when Paul talks about when we must submit to the authorities placed above us by our government, okay? When our government commands us to sin, no, because Christ is our Lord, first and foremost. Okay? So again, another quote from the Piper book. And I just use these quotes to talk about a disposition. Okay, what is the current, that heart attitude? You don't have to use these exact quotes in talking to your spouse in these situations, your husband situations, but this gives you a picture of what is it to submit, for a wife to submit to her husband when her husband is trying to lead into sin. Something like, husband, it grieves me when you venture into sinful acts and want to take me with you. You know I can't do that. I have no desire to resist you. On the contrary, I flourish most when I can respond joyfully to your lead. But I cannot follow you into sin. As much as I love to honor your leadership in our marriage, Christ is my King. So that's refusing to follow into sin, and yet there's still a disposition of submission there. That's bringing both together. That's powerful. What about abuse? I'm familiar with that as a common problem that is brought up when we talk about wives submitting to your husbands. Does this not then lead to an attitude increased cases of physical, emotional abuse of wives by husbands? I say no, it does not. It does not increase it. I think one of the reasons we have all of this broken relationships is because we do not teach what the various roles of husband and wife are appropriately. And primarily, as we'll hit hard next week on men for this aspect of abuse, right, of not teaching and understanding the correct way, what does it mean to love your wife? Does Christ love the church? So I don't believe that teaching submission or us understanding and really grasping with wives submitting to our husbands increases it. But I also say that just as you should do not follow your husband into sin, you do not, submitting is not, does not mean that you stand by for abuse, to be abused physically or emotionally or sexually. Absolutely not. What is the appropriate submissive thing to do in the cases if you are being abused? You come forward to the authorities and you come forward to me and to the elders of the church. And I tell you, yes, friends, if you talk to me, we will talk confidentially. I will hold all things in confidence, except if you're going to hurt yourself or if you're hurting somebody else. That's not confidential. That will not be kept confidential. We're going to address that. Address it right away. I just tell you that right now. And by the way, if that means you don't want to come to me and talk about these things, I say still do, because that is the hope that God has placed before you, to come forward and to confess these things. You do not have to, in submission, stay under abuse. Absolutely not. We will address that. I will. And the authorities, the police will. Okay? That is nothing that we just leave. I do not get that impression that that is what submission is. That's the same thing as don't follow your husband into sin. Right? So I don't want you to feel that that is a position which you are, that, you know, the pastor is advocating, that, well, I just got to sit here and take it. Do you see the heart disposition here that we're talking about, that the scriptures are proclaiming here? It's glorious. Yes, I'm a man saying that. I understand that. But from the scriptures, I say that it is glorious for wives to be in submission to their husbands, especially when that husband is a God-honoring, spirit-filled, a Christian man. Absolutely. Which we're going to pray for and we're going to talk about next week. God's goal in wives submitting to their husbands is for your great joy and for Christ's glory. Because it reflects the church to Christ, right? We get a picture of what the church does to Jesus when wives submit to their husbands. And in that, there is great joy for you. There is freedom and protection and beauty and the ability to thrive. Whereas when there's not those proper roles in marriage of submission and headship, I think, I believe from the Word of God, and I believe from what I have witnessed and seen, that you will not reach your ultimate joy as a wife or as a husband if you are not following the God-designed and ordained roles. God's goal in wise submission is your great joy and Christ's great glory. Why submit to your husbands as to the Lord? For He is the head of the wife, just as Christ is the head of the church, which is His body, and He is the Savior of. Let's pray. Oh, Father, You are good. You have not designed anything in a haphazard way or in a way that is bad or tears down or diminishes all that you have created, all that you will and desire is for good. So I pray, O Lord God, you would help us as a congregation, and I pray, O God, as a culture, and I pray, O God, as a world, that we would see and love and embrace the roles in which you have called forth, and specifically now in marriage. And would you give wives great strength and ability to submit to their husbands? And would you give them great joy and freedom and beauty as they submit to their husbands, O God? We ask this through Christ, who is all of our head. Amen.